you want to go ahead and play that first video there. Mm-hmm. So the pastor asked me to come speak about the sanctity of life, and we're just going to watch this little video of the miracle of life. To come speak about the sanctity of life, and I wanted to show that video because I don't know how else best is to show life. On January 22nd, 1984, happens to be the year I was born, President Ronald Reagan issued a presidential proclamation designating the third Sunday of January as National Sanctity of Human Life Day. Over these next 2 weeks, churches all over the nation will be talking about the sanctity of life. They'll be talking about life at all stages is precious, but specifically we're going to be focusing on the life of the unborn. I'd like to pray real quick. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to speak about life. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would just speak through me this morning. Lord, I ask that all my words would be clear and that you would just move in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. So due to how my life is today with little children, I listen to the scripture instead of reading it because that's just how it works. Every morning I get up, I start to get ready for the day, and I use the YouVersion app, and I'm able to actually listen to scripture. And if you're finding a hard time to fit in reading the scripture, I would encourage you to find a way to listen to it, because every morning it is just such a great way to connect to our Father. And it was this past week that I was listening to Ephesians 4:11-15. Now these are the gifts Christ gave the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we'll be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. There will no longer be immaturity like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his church, who is the head of his body, the church. That last part is what really spoke to me as I was preparing for the past couple weeks, is speaking the truth in love. We don't know where people have been and what they've gone through in their lives, either before they came to Christ or even when they have been with Christ. We just don't know. And so when we talk about this, I think it's really important as a church that we speak about this in love. And this just confirmed, the scriptures confirmed how that Heavenly Father wanted me to speak about this and how I was to share. So I want to share with you some amazing things about babies. At the moment of conception, a new human is coming into existence. All the genes and DNA concerning the child's sex, hair color, eye color, and so much more is present in the very beginning. At just 7 days, the baby is implanting in the mother's uterus. 7 days. 4 to 6 weeks, the baby's heart is one of the first organs to develop. The heart starts beating as early as 4 weeks. It can usually be seen on ultrasound from 6 to 7 weeks. This baby is only 5 weeks old. This is how formed the baby already is when the mother typically tests positive for pregnancy. So the baby's heart is usually already beating. There's already organs that are forming. Sometimes the heart is just a little cluster of cells that are flickering, but it's still there and it's still beating. It's alive. 6 to 8 weeks, the baby's lips become more sensitive to touch. Around 7 weeks, the embryo can hiccup. Brain waves can be recorded, and the nervous system starts to develop. By 8 weeks, she's moving around in the uterus to make herself more comfortable, and she begins to react to harmful stimulus. Independent movement, like breathing, the diaphragm muscle is completely formed by 8 weeks, and intermittent breathing motions can begin. So this is my son, if you want to go to the next slide. I don't know if the video will play, but I'd like to tell you a story about my son. This is such a wonderful picture to me because I struggled with infertility. And I was blessed to only struggle for 2 years, but that was some of the hardest 2 years of my life. I had people all around me having babies. I had my sister-in-laws having babies, and everybody was having babies so easily, and I just couldn't. And I went through a lot of testing, and we did some medication therapy, but we decided after 2 years that maybe we were just going to be dog parents, and that was fine. And we were going to travel and do missionary work, and that was okay, because that was what maybe God was calling us to do. And I just remember that morning, Christmas, I kind of felt terrible. And I was just like, well, this stinks. I feel terrible for Christmas, whatever. And there's a picture of all of us, and I am huddled up in a blanket in a chair, just looking miserable. And it was the next week that I tested pregnant. And I remember waking up, because I always get up early to do my hair and whatever, and waking up my husband, who was like, why are you waking me up? And I was like, it's positive. And he's like, what? And I'm like, yes, it's positive. This is it. And he's like, let's get a blood test. Like, what? Anyways, so I remember then telling my mom, and I have videos of telling, like we told them that same day, videos of telling all of our family and rejoicing. And I went to the doctor's office for the first time with my mom, and she looked, and because of how my body is, they just couldn't see the baby. And so she informed me that it was a false pregnancy. And I don't know that I have felt so crushed in my entire life. I just remember she walked out of the room and my mom just held me as I wept. And I really, really felt in my heart that I was pregnant. And so she was like, well, you know, I am an OB doctor. I'm not an ultrasound technologist, so let's get you an ultrasound. And since I kind of work in ultrasound, I called up one of my friends and I was like, hey, you got time today? She's like, come right now. I'm like, okay. So we went and we saw him, and he was there. And like I said, the clip's not playing, but you can see his little heart flickering. And it was just amazing. He's, yeah, that little guy up there. If you want to go to the next slide. And that's him when he was born. And to go from just that little teeny tiny human to him is just amazing. And I'm so blessed to have two little miracle children, and I thank God every day for them. So at 10 weeks, the whole body is sensitive to touch. The baby can now swallow, squint, frown, pucker the brow, and make a fist if the palm is touched. At 11 weeks, the baby can respond to the taste of amniotic fluid. At 12 weeks, nearly all the organs are formed and the structures are formed, and now it's all about growing. At 14 weeks, the baby can cry, hear loud noises, move suddenly, and the baby must be sedated if there's intrauterine surgery. And if the baby's irritated, the heart rate will increase. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 1, 4 through 5, that he knits us together in our mother's womb, consecrating us before we are born. I don't know how many of you knit or crochet, but it is, whenever I think of the scripture and God knitting us together, it's a process, and you have to be careful. And it just turns into this thing that you didn't think was going to be beautiful, but then it is. And what sanctifying means is, or consecrating means blessing, sanctifying, and dedicating, even before we were born. Why did I just walk you through the first trimester? A lot of you probably already know the steps, but it is really important for us to understand just how intricate and defined life is so very early on. In order to make ending a life more palatable, oftentimes mothers are told that it's so early that the baby isn't really alive. Well, now we know that's a lie. In 2019, the British Medical Journal reported, generally most abortions are carried out by 10 or 11 weeks. If we just remember back to what we just saw, the babies are already formed. In nearly all countries, abortions are performed, 90% are performed before the 13th week. One of the highest rates of abortion is in Iceland, where Down syndrome is being erased. They only have two or three babies born a year with Down syndrome right now in Iceland. At first, you may think that this is like a medical success, but no. It's not. The screening test that they provide to the mothers is only 85% accurate in telling if a baby has Down syndrome. How many lives are taken because of this? On a 15% chance that they might have a congenital abnormality. I'd like to share with you the story of my goddaughter, Averiana. My friend Christine was pregnant when we first became friends. I met her at church at a couples function. And they were kind of the only ones our age, and we just kind of gravitated toward each other. And when she was pregnant, they told her that she had a 50% chance of having a child with Down syndrome. The doctors hinted at termination being a good idea, and they refused. They even refused an amniocentesis, which would tell them for sure if she had Down syndrome, but it carries the risk of miscarriage, so they refused. Averiana came into this world affected by Down syndrome and consecrated, blessed, and anointed by God. Since we've moved from Washington, I haven't gotten much time with them, but before we moved, Averiana changed me. I remember taking care of her when she was just a little baby and being terrified. Well, first because I hadn't had any interaction with babies, but also because she had Down syndrome, and I didn't really know anything about that. And I remember that she had an issue with projectile vomiting after she was fed, and you had to just make sure that she was just in a certain way. And Christine was like, okay, you're going to be great, bye. And I was like, oh, okay. And I remember the first time I fed her, she started not breathing, and it was just like she had inhaled the formula, and it was just crazy, and God took over, and instincts took over, and I did the whole patting on the back thing and dislodged it, and she was breathing, and I was crying, and she looked at me like, I'm sorry, what's the problem? Are we not okay? And I remember calling her like, can you come home, please? But she just changed me. We went to buddy walks together. I learned about Down syndrome and other disabilities, and I learned to not be afraid of people that are not typical or people that look different. And I learned to love in a way that I didn't know that I could. Christine tells me stories about how God is using Averiana today in a mighty way. In their church, there were two little boys that had recently lost their mother. And they were hurting, but they came to church. And Averiana, who normally hugs everybody in church, just hugged them that day. And she was joyful to see them, and she ministered them in a way that nobody else could. Christine says that Averiana can sense when somebody's hurting and go minister and comfort them. Christine says her daughter is a ray of hope in the darkness, and her favorite thing about Averiana is her laugh. And if they would not have carried through with the pregnancy, she wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't have gotten to see this beautiful little girl. I'd like to share with you some historic people that were born to single mothers. Bernardo O'Higgins is Chile's founding father. He was a revolutionary leader of a ragged rebel army and fought Spain to gain Chile's independence. Alexander Hamilton was the second of two illegitimately born children to a married woman who had an affair and then was abandoned by that man with her children. He grew up in poverty, but at the age of 19, just 19, in 1776, he was assigned to be the captain of the artillery. He organized his own company. He eventually became America's first Secretary of Treasury, and he's one of our country's founding fathers. Eva Perón, usually referred to as Evita, was the first lady of Argentina, married to President Juan. An illegitimate child, her mother was abandoned by her father after she was born, and she was raised in poverty in rural Argentina. Evita remembered her origins and did not turn her back on the poor and disadvantaged after rising to power. She became a very popular leader, revered by the lower classes. She spoke up for labor rights, advocated for women's rights, and founded Argentina's first female political party. Some of the people that were born to single mothers that you may more recognize their names, Eric Clapton, J.K. Rowling, who did Harry Potter, and the list goes on. I'd like to look at some famous single mothers. Mary Kay Ash is the founder of Mary Kay Cosmetics. She is a single mother. Sojourner Truth is a historical single mother who left her mark on the world. For starters, she courageously escaped slavery with her infant daughter, But soon after, she learned that her 5-year-old son, Peter, had been illegally sold in the South. After raising money, she hired a lawyer, filed a formal complaint, and Peter was released from slavery. She later became a preacher and spoke out against slavery. I'd like to share some names with you of adopted people that you may recognize. Babe Ruth, Eleanor Roosevelt, Leo Tolstoy, a famous author, for those who may not know, Nancy Reagan, and Dave Thomas. You guys know Dave Thomas. He created Wendy's. I'd like to share with you a personal story about adoption. Heather Hampton and I are really, really good friends. We shared together in the journey of infertility. And if it had not been for her, I don't know. I mean, I would have made it, but it was just so nice to have somebody that I could share that with. And that pain that is just so indescribable. Heather and Seth had tried for 14 years to have a child. I still remember vividly the moment that her son was born. We were in the middle of Walmart. I had just had my son, and she called me. She had gotten a call that the birth mother was on her way to the hospital, and the baby was being born early. She had nothing. And so she scooped me up. We went to Walmart. We went shopping. And I remember right there a moment, I remember the exact spot in Walmart that through FaceTime we saw her son Paxton being born. And it was the most amazing moment. And so I asked her if she was here today what she would share. She said, "They have made our lives full. There was so much longing to have children for over 14 years. At times, before God answered our prayers, I felt quite the void. When we held our son at the hospital for the first time, I looked at my husband and our eyes were filled with tears of joy and awe because we were holding our answered prayer. We were grateful God is allowing us to love and take care of them. I don't look at our children as adopted. We were able to choose them, but in reality, God chose us. They have brought us joy and love and laughter and frustration from time to time because they are children. And we have made and will continue to make wonderful memories with our son and daughter. We have been blessed to raise our children from about 12 hours old to now. And we pray for many, many more days with them and that one day they'll accept Christ as their Savior. I love that our children play church and sing Jesus Loves Me. And they often ask, Mommy, do you have Jesus in your heart? And all I can say is rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. What are the point of these stories that I'm telling you? What if these men, women, and children were never born? Some of them were born during a time where termination of pregnancy wasn't really an option, as it is today, like Sojourner Truth or some of the other ones born a long time ago. But what if it was as easy as it is today? They wouldn't be here. I want to end with what God tells us about the unborn because this is the most important part of this whole message, is what does God say? Isaiah 49:1, listen to me, you islands, and pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the body of my mother he has named me. Psalms 129:13-16, you have made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was even born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book, and every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. God has a plan for each and every one of us before we were even born. And in the womb, he had a plan for us. He knitted us together. Galatians 1:15-16. But even before I was born, God chose me and he called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. Isaiah 49:5. And now says the Lord who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. God calls us to speak the truth, but with love. Again, we don't know where people have been. I recently interacted with somebody who I talked about with this, and there was just such pain that was there. As I was researching for this message, I came upon a website in my prep called Abortion Testimonials. I would encourage you to look up this website. I didn't include a link, but it's called Abortion Testimonials, and it is an anonymous way for people to share their stories. And one woman said, after sharing her story, that we're women is told that we have a choice, but no one explains what we're choosing. Because when you're choosing this option, which isn't really an option, you're also choosing pain and a void. And women carry this with them, and nobody explains this to them. Many women speak to a hole that they can't fill even 30 years later. I also discovered a Catholic-based ministry called Rachel's Vineyard Retreats. Rachel's Vineyard Retreats. These retreats are focused for men and women dealing with the loss of children through abortion, and I believe this is where we need to be as a church. Showing God's love to those who made this decision already, but also for those who find themselves in a situation that seems so hopeless they don't think they have options. We bring knowledge and hope. As a church, we can surround these girls and women with love and support and with no condemnation, which so many have expected from the church. If we can show love, which is what God calls us to do, to a young woman who doesn't know what they're going to do and who is afraid, we can now share with them options of adoption or raising the child themselves. There are so many people that will surround them. And as a church, as a family, that's what we need to do. I want to end with Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for all those who are in Christ Jesus. I want us to remember that even if we have been there and we have been a part of this, when we come to Christ, there's no more condemnation. He washes us completely clean. And I want to end with this final scripture, Romans 8:38-39. Romans is one of my favorite books, and Romans 8 just speaks to me. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything created will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Lord God, thank you so much for always being there with us and not letting anything separate us from your love. Even if it's something in our past or something that we've been a part of, Father, I just thank you for always being there. Lord, I just want to reach out and pray for anybody listening who has either been through this or been a part of this or has a decision to make, Father, that you would reach out to them with your love and surround them with people that love you that can just minister to them. In Jesus' name, amen.